All right, thank you, choir. Let's see if I'm properly turned on. Everything looks like we're working good. I got thumbs up from the balcony. That's the first time that's happened since I've been here. If you have your Bibles, go ahead. We're going to be looking in Acts chapter 2 this morning, starting in about verse 40. And I'm excited about this morning. I'm excited to be here. My favorite thing about this morning is I want to tell you where I'm not going this week. I am not going to Tennessee this week. We are here. Amen. We love Tennessee. We love Spring Hill more. And we are glad that we're home. And somebody said, are y'all all moved in and settled in? I said, well, if you drive by the house, it looks like we have been there a while. Don't come in. Because it does not look like that on the inside. But I'm so glad to be here, and we are just excited. We love Central Baptist Church. We love Spring Hill, Louisiana already, and we're excited to be here. Love this church and excited about what God is doing here, what God's going to do here, both in our church and our community. Some folks in this room are old enough to remember 1989, in the spring of that year, there was a movie released called Field of Dreams. Y'all remember that movie? The whole movie, this man, this farmer, kept hearing voices in his head saying, if you build it, they will come. And somehow he put together and figured out that if he built a baseball field in the middle of his cornfield, now here's the hard part, the 1919 Boston White Sox would come play on his field. This is in 1989. And so anyway, he had this and he kept hearing these voices, if you build it, they will come. Well, this morning we're going to be talking about fellowship. We are the church fellowship. And traditionally we have thought of fellowship as the Baptist version of the Field of Dreams is, if you feed them, they will come. But we're going to talk about this morning that fellowship is a lot more than a good potluck meal. Fellowship is what it's the very heart of what we as the church are supposed to be about. It's relationship, it's family. We're going to talk about just exactly some of what that means because we are the church in the area of fellowship. By way of introduction, let me go ahead and just give you a few things, a few fill in the blanks that you may want to take a look at. Koinonia. If you've even been around somebody who knew a little bit of Greek, that's one of the terms that folks who know a little bit of Greek, and I'm one of those guys, I know a little bit of Greek. Throw that term around, that koinonia is a Greek word for fellowship or community. Koinonia is the Greek word for fellowship or community. It talks about more than a meal. It talks about us being the family of God together. That's what that word koinonia means. And we're going to use those terms interchangeably on purpose. I'm going to use all three of those terms as we move through our outline today because it talks about a place, our place in the group. It appears at least 17 times in the New Testament. And it's important because this is supposed to be the characteristic of the church. In fact, I'm going to go ahead and just cut to the chase. I didn't put this in the notes, but this may be the best thing that you'll want to hang on to this morning. I think it's time for us to quit going to church. Not one amen. I would have thought somebody in the back would have given me an amen for it's time for us to quit going to church. No? I think it's time for us to start being the church. There we go. That's the best placed amen yet. It's time for us to stop going to church. My prayer is that we will not think of church as something that we check off the list that I've done this and I'm good till next Sunday morning. But instead, on Saturday night, we will just be anticipating, I get to go to church tomorrow. I'm going to see my family. It's going to be a time for us to worship God together. We are going to be the church, not just on Sunday. But how much more important is it that we are the church on Monday? Have you worked around some of those people on Mondays? We need to be the church. So that's going to be the summary of when we get to the end. But koinonia is the key to that, the fellowship and community. The purpose of the gospel, the whole purpose of the gospel is to lead people to have koinonia, to have fellowship, to have community with others and with God. It's all about you. You can go anywhere in the Bible, and that's how it's summed up. Go to the Ten Commandments. The first four commandments deal with about how we are to have community with God. Then the last six commandments talk about how we are to have koinonia. We're to have fellowship, community with others. It's about the vertical and the horizontal. As several verses talk about how we are to have koinonia with the Holy Spirit. In Acts, the passage we're going to look at is going to talk about how the young church was supposed to be having fellowship with one another. In fact, why don't you stand with me? Let's go ahead and read this passage. Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, beginning verse 40. I'm going to pause after this first phrase. And with many other words, he testified and exhorted them. He used a whole bunch of words when he was preaching. This is Peter as he was preaching, so just be prepared. I might have a few extra words this morning. With many other words, he testified and exhorted them, saying, "Be saved from this perverse generation." Then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and prayers. Then fear came upon every soul. Many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together and had all things in common. They sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all as anyone had need. So continuing daily with one another, with one accord in the temple, breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God, having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. Let's pray together. Father, we are grateful, Lord, that the Holy Spirit that brought koinonia to that early church, Lord, is the same Holy Spirit that is in this room this morning. So, Father, I pray that you would bless this church, this community, this fellowship of believers. Lord, Central Baptist Church has been here for almost 100 years. And Lord, I pray that you would help us, Lord, to be the church for the next 100 years. Lord, that we would be the church that people sense they are doing something for God. They are on mission for God. And they are not just going to church, they are the church. So Father, we pray that you would bless this time this morning as we look together in your word. Speak to our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Now, the word koinonia is one of those words that it is a noun as he talks about fellowship and as he talks about the community. But it's one of those nouns that really leads to something else. It's kind of like the noun love. Noun love is also a verb. It's something that you're supposed to act on. The noun koinonia is also something that you're supposed to act on. And we're going to see as we look through this passage some of the ways, some of the things that God calls us to. Because this fellowship is the very heart of who we are. And so let me just go ahead and give a warning here that koinonia, fellowship, needs to be given carefully. It's one of those things that we need to be cautious who we spend most of our time with. In fact, over in 2 Corinthians 6:14, it says, "Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what partnership, what fellowship has righteousness and lawlessness? Or what fellowship has light with darkness?" We need to be careful about where we spend the bulk of our time because our associations affect who we are. And it affects how we act. So if we're spending all of our time and our heart time with people who don't know the Lord, it can affect the way we act. There's a passage over in 1 Corinthians 15:33. And I'm trying to remember. It says, "Be not deceived. Evil company corrupts good morals." So we need to be careful about who we hang out with for the bulk of our time. Be not deceived. Evil company corrupts good morals. Someone told me one time, if you go out and put on a white pair of white gloves and play in the mud, that the mud doesn't become glovey, but your gloves sure do turn muddy. we need to be cautious how we spend our time and who we spend our time with. Now, that's not to say we completely withdraw from the world, because God's told us to be salt and light. We're to make a difference. We're to change the world from Spring Hill, Louisiana. But who we spend our heart time with does matter. And that's the part of fellowship and community that we're going to be talking about. So as we move through this, we're going to talk about three reasons why every one of us, and I went back and forth on how I was going to phrase it, the statements that you see there in your notes. I started with, you need to do this. And I went, you know, really, I need to do this. So I finally wound up with a, you and I need to do this, in the notes. But let's take a look at what we can learn from this passage of Scripture that you and I need to do. The first point I want to make is, you and I need koinonia. We could also say the church. We could also say the fellowship. We could also say our community. You and I need koinonia because of what you can do. If you look back even at the history of our country, John F. Kennedy said, ask not what your country can do for you, but what you can do for your country. God calls the church to say, what can I do for my church? Long before John F. Kennedy said that. God calls us to be invested in the community of believers here where he's put us. So what are some things that we can do? Well, first of all, let me say that membership and participation in a church allows us to fulfill spiritual duties that we have been called to do. We can belong to God's kingdom without the church, but I would say, I think we're going to have a hard time being a fully devoted follower of Christ if we're not invested in a family of believers. We need each other. We've got to have one another, and that's part of who we are. So let's take a look in this verse, in verse 42. Well, let's read it again. Verse 42 says, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in prayers. So based on that verse, let's take a look at three things that we can do as part of the church. First of all, we can become more obedient to scriptures. That first phrase, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. We ought to be spending time daily, as they did, in the apostles' doctrine, in the Word of God. I love to give my opinion. Anybody else like giving your opinion? Most of us are more of the mindset that when I want your opinion, I'll give it to you. You know, we kind of have that mindset also. But it really doesn't matter what you think. And it really doesn't matter what I think. What matters in the long run is what God has declared. And this is the only thing that's going to change anybody's life. It's not going to be the preacher in this pulpit. It's going to be the Word of God that changes lives. And so we need to be spending time daily, as they did, in the apostles' doctrine, in the things that God has given and inspired. So we can become more obedient to Scripture is the first thing that we can do as a part of who we can be. Or what we can do. Next, we can also partner with others. Take a look there also in verse 42. When it says they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship. They continued in the fellowship, not just in the doctrine, but in the fellowship. So there's nothing more unchristian, John Wesley says, nothing more unchristian than a solitary Christian. We've got to have the whole body. If you read over in 1 Corinthians, it talks about the illustration of the body of Christ. One part is a eye, and one part is a hand, and all the parts of the body are necessary together. If you just see one part of the body separated from the others, it's sad. It's an amputation. You're missing the rest of the body. God has called all the parts of the body together. In this room, God has assembled all the parts of the body that are necessary for Central Baptist Church. We are here together, you and me. That's us. God has assembled the body he wants right here, and we need each other so we can partner with others in the body of Christ. The next thing we can do is we can put Christ at the center of our lives. Still in verse 42, They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, so God's word. They continued in the fellowship and in the breaking of bread. Now, we're going to talk about breaking of bread because I started out with that whole story about if you feed them, they will come, that thing. But I think that there is room to make this an interpretation of more than just eating together. This is the call to communion. This is the call to in remembrance of me. When Jesus said, come together in the breaking of the bread, when they remembered, take this bread and it represents my body which is broken for you, and take this juice or this wine because it represents my blood that was shed for you. I think we need to be busy doing those things because we remember the sacrifice that Christ made for us. He died on the cross. It's not going to be long till we have the Lord's Supper. We need to do that on a fairly regular basis. As often as you do this in remembrance of me, Jesus said. We need to do that, to remember the sacrifice that was made. And we do that by putting Christ at the center of our lives. When we take communion together, we acknowledge the work of Christ on the cross and an example how we work together. And then fourthly, we can become devoted to prayer. Still in verse 42, so they studied God's word, they fellowshipped, they broke bread together, and in prayers. That's what God used, and that's how we can see what we can do. We can do those things. Prayer is the slender nerve, as John MacArthur says, that moves the muscle of the omnipotent. God does listen to our prayers. You see, countless times through Scripture where God was moved to do something that he already wanted to do because we spent time in prayer. I appreciate so much Brother Scott Tollifer. He has started joining me on Sunday mornings before we join up with the deacons to pray together. Was something that I think Brother Geist taught him. And maybe I'm telling tales out of school here, Brother Scott. But Brother Geist told him, we need to practice kneology. Let's get on our knees and spend some time with God. We need to do that. Prayer changes thing. But what I have found is the main thing that prayer changes is me. It helps me get in on what God's already doing. And so they gathered together and they prayed. Prayer is that thing. So all of those spiritual duties and responsibilities can happen without being connected to a church, but they aren't as powerful if we're not connected to the body together. Okay, so we talked a little bit about we need koinonia. You and I need koinonia because of what you can do. We also need it because of what you can become. There are some things that God wants to make us that we can become. And we'll take a look at those in these next little passage of Scripture, the next number of verses. What we can become when we have the right relationship with Christ through the church. And I love this first one, is that we can become agents of awe. Agents of awe, A-W-E. Listen to verse 43. It says, then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Fear came upon every soul. I don't know about you, but when I read the word fear, it kind of makes me think, that's not something I want. Y'all ever watch scary movies? Anybody ever watch scary movies? I don't. I'm not going to watch a scary movie. I don't want any part of a scary movie. When I was a teenager, folks would go to haunted houses. Somebody was going to get punched if I went to a haunted house. I just don't like being scared. So rest assured, the fear talked about in this verse is not fear like that. It is the word awe. As we sang the choruses together, I'm trying to remember the phrase that we talked about, the awe. I stand in awe of you. I was paying such attention. I really was worshiping, but now I can't remember. At the cross. Thank you. I'm a failure. I don't remember the words to songs. All right. But those songs talked about the awe of what God can and does do in the world. And the disciples in the early church experienced that awe. They saw God moving. Can I tell you, I have seen God moving in this church, can I tell you how I've seen God moving in our lives? When the whole thing of how we wound it up, how we got here, God moved through each step of that process. And then even to the point when we were looking for a house and saying, God, you know, we aren't picky, but we want the house that you have picked out for us. And we want it to be a place that is our home, but also a place that we can do ministry and God do that. And then we found out about this home that really has not been very lived in for a number of years. And then the weekend that we were here in view of a call, the children of the man put it up for sale by owner and said, well, it's time for us to sell that. And thought, God has been holding this house for us for years and just waited until this weekend. What a coincidence. Do you know what a coincidence is? It's when God chooses to remain anonymous. God had been holding a house for us, and he released it the weekend that we needed it. It's amazing how God works. I stand in awe of seeing how he does those things. We see it in our everyday lives, and it's not just the preacher that sees that. You see it in your life too. God's handiwork, the way he moves and he weaves together all those tapestries, we become agents of awe when we see what he's doing. A person is in spiritual awe when we realize that God is at hand. In the early church, they awed God. They were in amazement of God. They weren't in amazement of the First Baptist Church of Jerusalem. They weren't in amazement of the building. They weren't in amazement at the latest and greatest feature, the fact that they were on the radio or on television or those things. They were in awe of God. Lord, help us to see your hand in all the things that you do so we can become agents of his awe and awesomeness. We can also become the pipeline for miracles. Look in verse 43 again, the second part of that. After it says that awe came upon every soul, many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now, I will tell you, I have not personally been a part of any of those miraculous things quite the same way that they have, but I have had the privilege of being part of some miracles. Do you know the greatest miracle that happened in my life was when I received Christ? He took a fellow, I've shared my testimony when we were here in view of a call, but he took a fellow who had hardly been to church as a fifth grader and brought him to a place where he accepted Christ. And I could tell you my story. You know, our family put fun in dysfunction. We were messed up. But God took a little boy that was a fifth grader and brought to the point that I came to know, have a relationship with Christ. And then not only that, brought me to the point that I surrendered to ministry and I get to serve him. How miraculous is that? And every one of you in this room that has a relationship with Christ could tell me your miracle, because God saved us. And that's the miracle. He still performs miracle today when the church is busy doing what he calls us to do. All right, we can also become examples of selflessness. Look in verse 44. It says, now all who believed were together and had all things in common. They sold their possessions and goods. They divided them among all as anyone had need. So continuing daily with one another at temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness. So they took care of each other. We become examples of selflessness as part of how we are becoming and how we are becoming what God wants us to be. Once again, through this move, this church has poured out to us. We had folks bring in food over for our movers. Our movers have never eaten so well as they ate when what some of the ladies brought over to our house when they were unloading our stuff. In fact, they stopped moving for a while because they had to lay down on the carpet and take a nap. But we show we are becoming the body of Christ when we serve one another. That's part of what God has called us as the church to be, that we can count on one another. They sold everything that they had and had all things in common. We don't necessarily need to do that at this point in our church life, But we do look out for our brothers and sisters. We do take care of one another. That's part of who we are as the body of Christ, is that we take care of one another's needs. We can become examples of selflessness. And then this one I love. We become people of joy. Look in verse 46, the last phrase there. It says, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. They ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. God wants us to be a people of joy. He wants us to laugh. He wants us to smile. He wants us to be the people of God that are attractive to others. People want to go where they enjoy being around other people, don't they? Have you ever had that relative who was just sour? Did you look forward to sitting next to them at Thanksgiving? No. No, we didn't. We want to be around people who have joy and they experience joy. What produces this joy is not manufactured. It is sincerity and praising God. I want us to be the church that other people are saying, I can't wait till Sunday morning because I want to go to Central Baptist Church. I want to be around those people because God has done something in them. They are people who are excited about being there. And continuing that thought, continuing on in verse 47, when he says they were praising God and having favor with all the people, that goes on to say that you and I need community because the impact that we can have. Part of the impact that they had was that they became attractive to others, that enjoying the favor of all the people, people wanted to be around them. People wanted to be around these disciples who were experiencing Christ. And that's nothing new to the disciples. If you remember Luke 2:52 says, talking about Jesus when he was a little boy and growing up, really all we know from the time he was an infant there were or a toddler when the wise men came to his house until we see him at the temple. And then as he became an adult, it says, and Jesus grew in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and men. Jesus grew in wisdom and in stature. So let's think about that. He got smarter. His body grew up and he grew in favor with God. He grew spiritually, Jesus did, and with men. There was something attractive about him that other people wanted to be around him. There is something attractive about being a follower of Christ. So much so that in this passage of Scripture, as we think about, I think I'm on the third point, about how we need community because of the impact we can have. We can have an impact as we are attractive to other people. As they see in us the will of God. They see in us the joy of Christ. And then what happens when they see that and they are drawn to that? In verse 47, the last part says, the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. God still saves people. God still draws people to himself. The ultimate impact was effective evangelism. The ultimate impact of being the people of God, of being the church and doing what they could do and being the fellowship that was becoming what God wanted them to become, and the ultimate impact of community was God drawing people to himself. There are still people who need to be saved. Now, a lot of us have been saved for a long time in this room. I think I've done this before, but a bunch of us have been saved for a while. And it may be that you'd say, you know, I really don't even know any lost people. All I'm around are Christians. Have you been to the gas station lately? Have you been to Walmart? I'm sorry, have you been to the Walmart? Isn't it the Walmart? We need to be out there in the world. God wants to use us to draw people to himself. And the impact of being a church that's on mission and that is excited and that is seeking to follow him is that God will have other people say, I want to be a part of that. I want to be a part of a church and a fellowship and a community and a koinonia that is attractive to me, that I want that in my life. And God can and will use us to do the miraculous. So in the bottom line here, I want to just ask three questions. As I seek to be obedient in the area of a fellowship, three questions I need to ask myself. First of all, do I spend time daily in relationship with my Heavenly Father? They spent time daily in the apostles' teaching. Do we spend time daily in God's Word? Do I spend time daily in relationship with my Heavenly Father? Next, I'd ask, do I place a priority on time with my church family? Is this a priority? Not so much that I'm here on Sunday, although that's very important. Hebrews 10:25 says that we should not forsake the assembling of ourselves together, but we need each other. So we need to not lessen that. But do I put a priority on the people in this room? Do I put a priority on my relationships with the folks in this room? It is a priority. And then the third question is, and this may be the hard one, is there anyone with whom I have a broken fellowship? Is there anybody that I have a broken relationship with, broken fellowship with? You know, I think I've shared this little ditty before. Someone taught me that says, to dwell above with those we love, oh, that will be glory. But to dwell below with those we know, that's another story. God wants us to represent him by our relationship with one another. John 13:35, I think, says the most powerful witnessing tool we have when it says, by this will all men know that you're my disciples, that you love one another. Is there somebody that you have that wall and it has affected your fellowship with our Heavenly Father because it's affected your fellowship with them? If God's bringing somebody to mind, I would suggest that's somebody that you need to address and you need to go to and say, I'm sorry for that small offense that I don't even remember what it is, but I'm still bowed up over it 20 years later. And I want to ask your forgiveness. We need that relationship restored, because what God uses to draw us into a better relationship with him is a clean relationship with one another. Acts 2:1, just before the pouring of the Holy Spirit, Acts 2:1 says, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all in one accord. They were all in agreement, and they were all in one place. I'm praying that God will send revival to Central Baptist Church. He's going to do that through relationship. I'm praying that God will send revival to Spring Hill, Louisiana. He's going to do that by the people of God. We need to make sure that the air is clear with him and the air is clear with everybody in this room and those who may not be in this room because they took offense. So we need to pray and ask God to heal relationships upward and horizontal. We're going to have a word of prayer in just a moment, and then Brother Tim's going to come and lead us. I believe it's I Surrender All. Is that right? And we're going to stand together and sing a hymn invitation. If you have anything that God's laid on your heart, if you want to say, this is the place I want to be a part of, I want to be a part of a winsome church that is on mission for God, you can come and say, join this church. If you want to say, I don't have a clue what you're talking about, but I want to know more about Jesus, this is the time to come forward. And maybe you just say, I need to do business because of that offense that was done to me and I've been holding a grudge for a very long time. God, help me to deal with that so that I can have a clear relationship with you. All right, let's pray together and then we'll stand. Father, this morning, Lord, we see what happened in the early church, how you used their fellowship, Lord, how you used that koinonia and the fact that they weren't just members of a club, but Father, they were a family. They were the body of Christ. And Father, I pray that you would help us to be that in this place. Father, that you would use us in a mighty way. And Lord, I pray that your spirit would just have the freedom to speak to each one of our hearts, Lord. Whatever you want us to do, whatever decision you are planning in mind, Lord, we give those to you right now. Father, let your will be done. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand together now?